We have here today, in the first reading, the third of the four servant songs. The next one is Friday. That's the long one about the servant. What a grace the Lord has left his people in this mystical, prophetic portrayal of a servant. The man who wrote this knew that there would be one coming who would set God's people free from sin. And he describes him, you see, in terms of suffering. We don't know anything about this man. These are all part of what we call Second Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet wrote the material that's in 1 to 39, and then somebody picked up from 40 to 55 in the same school of thought, and obviously a saint and a mystic. And then in the exile, someone else wrote 60 to 66, the end. All of the same school of thought, all influenced and inspired by Isaiah the prophet, but it's a school. And so I would recommend, now that I see now, as you know, this is the last liturgy here in the chapel until Monday, and the last in the church until Saturday night. Read these and pray that the Lord give you a share in the prophetic grace that the man had who wrote this and expressed his suffering. The Lord has given me a well-trained tongue that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I might hear. So he's up every morning. He's ready to pray every morning. He's seeking the Lord every morning. How many times did our Lord do that, right? They'd have a big, you know, healing service at night. The Lord would be praying and thousands would be healed and delivered from spirits. And the next morning, early, he'd go off for a prayer time. And the guys would get up and say, whatever happened to Jesus? Where did he go? And they start running around out in the desert trying to find him until they found him. He prayed. He's the Son of God. And so, I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. That prophecy was fulfilled literally, right? What did they do with our Lord? They sat him down, they beat him, they spit in his face, they mocked him. That he knew from Revelation. The servant, when he came, the one who would lead God's people out of exile, and not just Babylonian exile, would be someone who suffered. We'll have the last one of these, as you know, on Good Friday. And in that one, God speaks. It's a soliloquy. He grew up among us. There was no comeliness that we should esteem him. And then the crowd begins to speak. That's us. To look on Jesus and please appreciate what's going on. What's going on now? I say liturgically, because it's done historically, but this is his history, the reality of our Lord's love, his suffering, his self-gift, is present right here. That's why we stop everything and pay attention to this. His suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And so this man knows, the Lord God is my help, and I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, Let us appear together. He's challenging them. Go ahead. You know, beat me, mock me. But I'll tell you this. Your life depends on it. And so that's the third of the four songs. You can see what prophetic insight there is. Ponder that. Get time today to just read these. In the gospel, we have some of the saddest pages in the Bible. Whatever happened to this poor guy, Judas? He was probably, more interested in overthrowing the Romans with force. And Jesus was a disappointment. Here's the one guy who could do it. He could gather as many men as we need to drive the Romans out, and he's not doing it. And so Judas said, then he realized what he did, and he killed himself. We pray, huh? Because God can hear our prayers now for him, that he didn't die hard. Our Lord says it was better that he'd never be born. That's pretty tough. But it doesn't mean he was necessarily damned. And so the disciples go to get the Passover ready, not knowing that all of that shadow was going to become reality in the next few days. It's not the Paschal Lamb that makes this, it's Jesus. And so we have this all about betrayal. I've already pointed out, and it used to be in one of the ancient prayers of the liturgy, we got two traitors to look at during Holy Week. Judas and Peter. And the church is saying, look, we're all traitors, okay? Now you got your choice. You can repent like Peter and weep and be the Pope. Sin is not the obstacle. Or you can turn in on yourself and maybe not go so far as Judas, but just give up. And all these two are put here like this. And the prayer of Holy Thursday used to mention it. I don't think it does anymore. I wish it did. It's frightening to think of what Judas did. But then, what about us? He received the Eucharist once. And Satan entered, and he went and killed Jesus. We receive the Eucharist every day. Are we faithful? Do we listen to the Lord? You see, right now, we're this way every year, but more this year. The whole world is teetering, right? I mean, Ukraine, Middle East, China, and to say nothing of our own dear land, all teetering one way or the other on the brink of disaster. And here's the solution. That we become so taken by the mystery of the Eucharist, the self-giving of the Eucharist, that we begin to tell people, give them hope, and change their lives. It's not a pretty picture out there right now, is it? And all the corruption being exposed right now, even in our own government. It's not a pretty picture. But we can pray and change it.